ます。
You are listening to a life-impacting message preached by Bishop Richard Ayi at the Jesus Encounter Service, Birmingham. Bishop Richard Ayi is the pastor of the First Love Church UK, a denomination founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills. The First Love Church is full of zealous young people who love and desire to work for the Lord. You will be encouraged and uplifted as you listen to this powerful sermon.
Touch you and to feel your grace and abundant love.
I need you, Lord, because I feel the curse in this dark and evil world I live in. This tension everywhere. I'm praying, Lord, if I can have
this evil pressure all around, please help and bless. from this evil pressure all around. Please help and bless me, Jesus. Oh, I need you, Lord, because I feel the curse in this dark and evil world I live in. There's tension everywhere. Can have a breakthrough from this evil pressure all around. Please help and bless me, Jesus. I
need you, Lord.
Yeah, I need you, I need you.
'Cause I feel the
please help me, please help me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you feel like you need the Lord in this dark world that we're in? This side, do you feel like you need the Lord in this dark world that we're in? Can we all be upstanding? Can we all be upstanding? You know, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to make an agreement with your neighbor today. Tell them, neighbor, say, neighbor, when the word of God is being preached, please don't stand up and move around, because I don't want to miss my word because of you. Can we agree on this? Shake your hand, shake their hand. Make sure it's an agreement. Well, first of us, we've come to the best part of the service. I don't know if you've noticed, but our pastor's back. Our father's back. Our bishop is back. How many of you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then lift your voice and say, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus.
We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for we have everlasting hope.
Oh, first of us, to sing with excitement, sing it like you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lift your voice and sing.
No, we are the God.
pray. Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful blessing in this place. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence and your house. I pray, Father, that your will shall be done amongst us today. Thanking you always and praising your name, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness towards us, Lord. Let your will be done, Father. Let your will be done. Thank you, Father, for this blessed opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Take your seats. And good to see all of you again. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. Mercy, it's been a while, isn't it? Just a little while. Okay. It was like I was here yesterday. And I'm back. Okay. So, good to see all of you. Great blessing to see you guys. Hope you've been having a good time. Like a real good time. Okay. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Okay, so it says that unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Keep going. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I pray you don't miss your first love. I hope you always keep the fire and the zeal of your first love. Do you remember your first love? I don't mean your first boyfriend. I mean your first love for God and for the things of God. Not your sex crush. Do you remember your year 6 crush? Alright. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your love for God. And your first love for God. Which earned you a call. And which earned you the place that you are now. Pastor church. To be called DDP, LPLP. You know. Yes. That's what I'm referring to. Because What you would notice if you look carefully is that what you'd realize is that in life, with the passage of time, things change. Maybe I've realized that things change. Things change because you have different experiences, you meet different challenges in life. So If you don't keep your eyes on a purpose, a vision, a reason why you are saved, you know, why you are saved and why you are called, before you realize, though you are in the church, you are doing something else. I don't think when we got saved and our love for God, I don't think it was on the foundation that God will give you money. God will give you a house. God will give you a beloved. God will give you a marriage. God will give you a nice car. I don't think you signed such a contract with God that, God, you know, I'm coming. You just found someone who loved you and loved you for free. You found someone who was interested in your life. You didn't know that. You could be loved and not pay back. No, because all the loves you had experienced were quite conditional, even if it's not said. It's like, if you really love me, you've got to show it in a certain way. You understand? From either side. It's not just a guy loving a lady who has demands, but even a lady loving a guy also has demands. And that's expectation. And usually the demands are the same. They both want something stupid and something crazy. Yeah, it's true. It's true. There are as many deceptive ladies that I know as there are of guys. It's not just guys who are sly and wicked or mean. Ladies are equally the same. They are deceptive, they are sly, they are liars, they are full of evil. They are the same. If you ask me, even though ladies look more angelic, it's true, you are more pretty than guys. I mean, guys have hair all over their faces. But yeah, are ladies not pretty? Yeah. Are guys pretty? No. I mean, yeah. You know, but despite the beauty, they are us, you know. We all contain perhaps equal amounts of evil till we are saved. And even when we are saved, it becomes a battle. You know, it becomes a battle to wash it off and wash it away and renew our minds. Unless you would say that Romans chapter 12, verse 1 only applies to guys, does it apply to pretty faces? I'm trying to remember a rhyme that we used to say when we were children. Oh, what did we used to say? Something sugar and spice and everything. Everything nice, yeah. So how does it start? Do you know it? You don't know it. Little girls are made of, we used to say little girls are made of sugar and spice and something, everything, something. Okay, look at the scripture. The scripture is saying that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says that, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he said, be not conformed, but the renewing of your mind. So unless we want to say that this passage we are just reading, that be changed, you know, transform means change, be changed by the renewing of your mind, only applies to the young boys and the young guys. And it doesn't apply to ladies. It's like for ladies, your minds are transformed already because of your beauty. Okay. But it's not so. I don't know. You can tell me if you have another verse. You can tell, but I think that everybody has an equal amount of worldliness, wickedness, and whatever. So therefore, everything applies to everybody. And we have to see it. You know, I'm not saying it to tell ladies off. I'm rather saying it to wake you up and to, you know, tell you that you must be as serious and as sensitive to the things of God and the attacks of the devil as a guy would be. You understand? As anybody would be. You should be that alert, that sensitive, though, because it was Eve who was deceived. That's what the Bible says. Not Adam, it was Eve. It was the lady who was deceived. And a lot of ladies get deceived. I've been pastoring for a while. A lot of ladies get deceived. Was it not Delilah who was used to kill Samson? Yeah, to destroy Samson. It was a lady who was used. It wasn't a guy. Eve was deceived, not Adam. Delilah was the one who was used to bring down Almighty Samson. No, so you must be as alert as any other person, because before you realize, with the passage of time, you're a different person. Though you started off well, you're a different person. So I'm just saying to say that sometimes when you are addressing some things, it's just a feeling that I have that ladies feel as though it doesn't apply. You know, and sometimes we feel as though, you know, we are okay, we are so strong, and we are so okay that
it's like, it's him. He's the evil one. So I'll even go as a savior, savior of men. To go and say, but you see, that is the subtle, that's the subtle delusion and evil that is in you, because the evil in you is approving of evil. I don't know whether you understand the English preaching that I'm preaching. Yes. So it looks as though you are quite gullible. You know, the deceitfulness that exists and the deception that exists is what is evidence of evil in someone. Sometimes even the fear. Fear is an evil thing. But when we talk about fear, everybody thinks about that pretty girl who is scared of spiders, doesn't take risks, doesn't like this, doesn't like, but it's fear. Fear is the presence of evil. That is what, because fear will lead you to make decisions. Yes. That affects the purpose of God in your life. It affects the purpose of God. Just by fear. You know, when you read the scriptures gives us a list of people who go into the lake of fire. People who will not make it to the kingdom of God. One of them is the fearful. And then another point that the scripture also says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So no matter how casual you put it and you say that, I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid. I'm afraid this. I'm afraid that. I just want you to know that I am afraid that this will happen is the presence of evil. Are you understanding what I say? I'm just trying to explain what I mean by equal amounts of evil in all men, regardless of gender. Equal amounts of evil. If your mind is not on it, you will entertain some evils more than other kinds of evil. You will entertain some evils because you will think this evil is not evil enough, because it's not called rape. It's not called murder. It's called fear. So it looks, but that fear is what is a bait to you to be disqualified from your calling and your ministry and God's purpose. Remember, I'm telling you that I was talking to you about purpose, that you need to maintain the purpose that God has for you. So what are the things that will make you get disqualified? Is the evil. Because it's Satan who has an agenda to get you out and to knock you off. It's Satan, it's not God. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. Yeah. Okay. No, which verse did we get to? You've forgotten. Yeah, I was talking to you about your first love. Your first love. The thing that made you come this far. The thing that made you follow God to this point, to accept His calling, to accept opportunities, to accept roles and functions and things. It's like, I will do this for God, because you haven't gone to a theological seminar. You are more, if you say you're a shepherd, you're a basenta leader, you're a santa head, you are this. You are more going by pure love for God. Pure love. Pure love. In other words, there's no formal training in that sense. Just pure love. It's in pure love. So this is how far pure love can take you. Pure love can take you very far. I've never been to Bible school. I've never been to a theological seminary or I've not been there. I've received some training in an informal way. Informal way. I've received training. I've learned. So I've gone more by pure love for God. You know, that this God, I can entrust myself to Him. Just as before you receive marriage counseling. Before you receive marriage counseling, you have operated devotion, commitment, and trust to each other. Then in the last few months, towards a wedding, when you announce that you want to formalize things, then some people, some group of ministers and priests say that, hey, no, you need counseling. Meanwhile, you have operated by faith and love, unadulterated love, for years. You have been together for years. So that is the thing you shouldn't lose. That the thing that took you into counseling is the thing you shouldn't lose. Yes. First love is pure love. First love is pure love. The thing that turned me into a pastor, made me accept ordination to be called a reverend, made me accept consecration to be called a bishop, made me pastor churches, preach, pastor churches, do this. You see, that thing is what I have to fight not to lose. That I shouldn't change and become something else, because with time, a lot of other things come up. Needs will come up, things that you need. You know, so it's more like when you get it, anything that you get is a test on the purity of your love. Yes. Then sometimes you hear people say that somebody has changed after their wedding, because what they wanted is a wedding day. You will see ladies complaining that since we got married, he doesn't have time for me anymore. He doesn't chat with me anymore. Because when you are not living together, he was always on the phone with you, talking till late night, saying this, saying that. Then after marriage, you live together. So you must have imagined that he's going to sit down with you this time, not on the phone, but face to face, and be saying the things he used to say. Your eyes are like dove eyes. Your nose is like a new oven. Your neck is like the Big Ben. The things he used to say. The things he used to say without training and premeditation. The pure words that used to come out. But you see, now the person also feels, the person also has a mind that, well, now we are together. It's like, I've proven to you everything I said. So the person also has a philosophy of, I've said everything, I've done everything, there isn't much to say anymore. Because here we are, I've proven everything I said. Then his real self begins to manifest. Likewise on the other side too. You say that, oh, this person used to be caring, comforting. So you see, it's like the care, the comfort, the neatness, the tidiness. Because every time you've gone to visit, the hair is intact. The eyebrows are, you didn't even know that the eyebrows can get crooked. The hair was always, like the ones that are ironed before they are worn. Yes. Because there is also resignation. You see, it's a test of how pure your love is and how far your love can take you. How far? That is how pure it is and whether it will last. So that is why God has an interest in first love or in pure love. It has an interest in it because it's like you've left it. It's like though you're around, you don't have what you had originally. When you came to first year and you got saved, you know, you developed some excitement. But by second year, will it be there? By third year, will it be there? And then when you finish and you get a job, will it be there? Or when you finish and you are not getting a job, will it be there? Yes. So that's the battle That's the battle in your walk with God. To maintain, you have to be able to maintain the pure love, the purpose, the fuel that made you go after God. You have to pray and make sure that you don't lose it. Verse 5 says, I remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Okay, so you should always be able to locate the point of deviation. You don't have to be able to locate that. Oh, it was like after graduation. Or after. There is nothing as satisfying as looking for something and getting it. So, that thing is very dangerous. Because as soon as you get it, you don't need the supplier anymore. Since I finished uni, I've not gone back to my uni for lectures anymore. Not even for 1 second. I've been to the university I went to. I've been there. But when I went there, do you know where I went? I went on the route that I used to walk with my beloved on. Yes. To stir up memories. So I was with a friend. And I took him on that route. I said, we used to come from here, turn this way, go down this road, walk down this road. It was a long road with palm trees. Yes. We used to go for walks when the sun is setting, walking on the palm trees and chatting. That's what I remembered about the university. Not calculus, not quantum mechanics, not abstract algebra, not complex analysis. No. I finished. Yes. I don't want to go for lectures. I don't want another lecture. I've had enough. Yeah, I've had enough. I don't want another lecture. So I'm saying to you that when you are looking for something, that you are desirous of something, and you get it, always remember at the point of victory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When victory happens, remember to check the state of your pure love for God. Or if you are going to say that, now I don't need God anymore because God has provided. Always remember at the point of achievement, at the point of victory, at the point of success, always remember to ask yourself, ooh, how is my heart towards God? How is my heart towards God? Especially the thing that you've been praying for and desiring for, when you get it. So that's what he says that remember from whence thou art fallen. That is the point of division. You know, like you have find your phone, find your airports, find your airports. It tells you where you last saw it. Yes, it tells you to remember that point. That it was after I was able to. It was after graduation. I said, I've got it. I've got it. God has given me the first class. Like, what else is there to ask God for? I'm going to be working at Goldman Sachs. I'm going to be working at JP Morgan. You know, it's like, yeah, I've got it. I've got it. I'm starting off at, you know, 32K. It's going to jump to 65 in 6 months. It's like, what else can I? But you see, also, that is not God's, that's not the attractive thing about you to God. That now you earn 62 and a half K. It's not the most attractive thing. What got God's attention was your pure love. Your love for Him. Yes. And that is the thing that you shouldn't lose. And that's why he said that, be careful that you will find at which point is it when that girl came into your life? Possible. 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 You may not like to hear it, but I've seen guys change because a girl came to their life. Oh yes. I've tried helping them, talking, know this solitude, but they wouldn't listen. What they listened to was not the counsel. They listened to the hard knocks. Yes. When they discovered that they've become like Samson, Delilah has taken their strength. Then they sat up. But she has taken the strength. Yes. But you were warned. Warned. But if you be careful to know, this was the point. It was this person. It was this association. It was this victory. This achievement. That is where I cooled off. I became calm. Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
You're hearing what the Lord is saying, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I'm telling you what the Lord is saying. Yeah. Telling you. Yeah. Always remember that thing. That, where did I lose it? That's where honesty comes in. You have to be honest to yourself. Because nobody can, how can, maybe someone knows you very well, they can tell you that, no, it looks as if at this point. But best of all, that's when you become your best teacher. You have to tell yourself, oh, it was after marriage. I've not been the same again. I've been so busy. I can't pray. I don't pray much. This, maybe because I'm not used to living with someone. So I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do this. So it's at that point they started going down. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, that is, make a U-turn, and do the first works. So first works is equal to first love. When you start doing the works, it means that you are getting your first love back. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. You know, that's why sometimes you shouldn't be quick to criticize someone. Because there are junctions in life. There are junctions. Some people cool off as early as graduation. They've just graduated. That's it. That's their end. That's their end. Some people cool off even before graduation. They got a beloved in school. That was their end. That was it. It's finished. Finish. Some survive it, then they get to wedding. After wedding, that is it. And genuinely, they cool off because genuinely that's been their number one desire from God. That's why I told you the story about my university. Remember that I said, when I go there, I have no desire to go for lectures. I'm done with, there's no desire in me. There used to be desire. Go, hear what the lecturers are saying. What is happening? Exam. This. No, but this. It's not there anymore. It's not there. The closest you get to me is watching some people solving some complex questions on YouTube. That's the closest you get to me. It means that I'm really bored. Then I'll go there. Yeah, and sometimes I do get bored, so I just go, I just find, I have some people there, I just go there and just say, look, let's solve this equation, and I start watching them. Yeah, I mean, that's the closest, but it's not for writing, it's for entertainment. Yeah, it's for entertainment. It's just to, sometimes over time I realize I've fallen asleep. Yeah, then that's okay. It was a good pill for me to sleep. But there is no desire for that thing because it's done. The importance of that place is gone and it's lost. Because I was looking for something. That's why I went there. I was looking for something. And when you are looking for something, that's what I'm saying. That very thing is what can turn you off and turn you away. Victory, achievement. Some people get to as far as after they survive beloved, they survive graduation, they survive a wedding, then a child. After the child, that's it, it's over. They can't, just one child, just one, not two or three, just one, they can't. They don't need God again. Some a car, some people buy a car, that's it. Some people buy a house, that is it. Some people get a good job, and I pray you all get good jobs. Some people get good jobs, and then that is it. Like, it's like, that is it. It's as though when you get a certain type of job, you shouldn't be in church. Yes. You shouldn't be in church. You should be in church when your offerings are £5. You should be in church when your normal offerings are £50. Normal, without any extra things. Like normal, I'm giving it £50. Like, when you get to that level, you shouldn't be. But you know, the Bible says that honor the Lord with your substance.
Yes.
One of the ways you show appreciation to what God, who God is to you, is by what you give. And that's why when it gets to giving offerings, you must always, if you like percentage wise, you must always give an honorable offering. Not spare change. God is not a beggar. He doesn't need it. The cattle on the 1,000 hills and the silver and gold. It's for him. He said, that's why David, clever David. He said, we are giving to you what is thine. What I'm bringing to you is for you already. But you know, it's like you just made us custodians of it or caretakers of it. So we're just trying to tell you that what you have given to us, we are taking some to say thank you to you. Because you are great. That was David. These are the words that David had for God. Why wouldn't God like him? Why wouldn't you like such a person? Hey, why would you like such a person who remembers who you are and what you've done for him? Okay, Revelation. Let's go back to Revelation. I've not even started my message today. Wow, it's almost time to close. Okay. So first works, I'm telling you first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. I will remove your candlestick out of his place. So God gives us places and positions. Are you with me? Are you wide awake? You know, so your candlestick, that is your light. Your ability to shine means that you've been given a place and a position. And you see, this perhaps goes to those of you who have roles in the church, things that you do. And even more especially, even though both are equally important, those who have public ministries. Be very careful. This is Jesus speaking. Say, I will remove you. I will remove you. Not man, oh, not your pastor. Not your pastor. Your pastor has no authority, has no right to. But God said, I will remove you from your place. That's from that position. Whatever you do, it's like whatever before that somebody else is doing what you do. So I will remove you. That is God's response to love that is not pure. And people who have deviated from the purity of love, the pure love, the first love, they've gone and said, I will remove you. I will not give you another chance. So when you see people who are getting another chance, God keeps giving them opportunities to serve him and things. You have to actually know that God must be happy with this person. when he's not happy, when he's not happy, he has his way of removing you. Oh, he'll remove you. He will remove and close the door. But a lot of people don't value what the scripture is calling place, position, role. You see, when you have an activity to do, or when you get an opportunity, you see in our prayers all the time, when we start, we say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity. I always remember that as I'm about to preach, it's a chance that God has given to you. It's a chance. It's God has given an opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity. If God says no more opportunity, no more opportunity. It's over. It's finished. So when you don't recognize opportunity, you're making another mistake. Sometimes even a relationship, friendship with an important, I'm not talking about romantic relationship. All relationships are not romantic. Yes. There's a relationship that are more important and valuable in your life. The access you have is greater than any romantic relationship you ever have. The access you have to an important person, to talk, to chat, to laugh, to cry, to hear wisdom, to receive direction, to receive instructions. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. But there are people who don't recognize it. And they think they are sly. Slyness kicks in. You know why people get caught up in gambling? Because they think they are clever. They feel one day I'll win big money. So they keep going. And that's the bait. That's the deception. I know some of you here gamble. I hope not, but you try. Bet free. Try. You know, because you think you are sly. You think you are sly. When I watch people trying the lottery and having such confidence, it's purely by chance if you ever win anything. Having such confidence that there are methods or formulae that be great. I said, no, these people don't understand the laws of probability. They've never worked out the chances of winning before. Yes. If I have 20p, I'll save it. I'll put it in a bottle. I'll put my 20p in a bottle. Than to gamble with it. Yeah, if I have 20p and he can't do anything for me, it's wiser to save the 20p than to lose it. Yeah. Any day. Any day. It's wiser to save it than to lose it. Than to take a risk and lose it. It's far wiser. Because the chances of winning, it's slim. Sometimes, I can't say none of the probability is not zero, but the probability is not one. Yeah. The chances are between zero and one, which means that it's fractions. Between zero and one are fractions. 0.0001, 0.0002, 0.0, it's like that. Fractions. Yes. Your place. To think about it carefully. Do I have a place? Do I have a place? Some of you will be preaching tomorrow morning. That's your place. You have to. When you enter like this and you see people have gathered, you come and listen, you have to know that God has given you a position. And as you say, how did you get that position? To that position? That's the place. You got there by your first love. Yes. That's what earned you that position. Verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I was just asking what the Lord is saying. He didn't tell me. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Thank you, Jesus. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. 10. For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Lazy P, what the Lord is saying is that be thou faithful unto death. Yes. Be thou faithful unto death. Don't change. Don't change your love for God. Don't change your strength in pursuing God and serving God and working for God. Be thou faithful unto death. Be steady. Be constant. Be faithful. Be loyal. Be dependable. Be reliable. Till when? Till when you marry? Till when you become a doctor? Till when you specialize? Till when you have children? Till when you're able to buy a brand new car? Because you know, people buy cars, but the cars are, cars. You see, but there will be a day where you buy cars from the showroom. Yes. You go there, you do what you have to do. You choose what you want to choose. You test drive. You say, okay, I want these specifications. And then that is it. And it will be delivered to you. Brand new car. Oh yes, that day will come. But will that day change you? Is it going to change you? Are you going to change because some guy says that I love you, I want to marry you? You are all I want to marry. So because of that, you put aside everything that the Bible says. Because you've seen someone with a mustache. Yes. Who says I want to marry you? It's like everything that is subject to reasoning and intelligence is abandoned because a mustached guy says to you, you are all I want. You are all I want. You are all I want. You are all. Young girls, are you hearing my preaching? Okay. Be thou faithful unto death. So in conclusion today, relax. In conclusion today, I'm telling you that whatever your calling is, your purpose, whatever God has for you, don't lose it. It is still death. It is still death. It is still death. It is still death. No slowing down. No cooling off. No cooling off. As we get older, we should work more. You know, I was in the Pacific Islands with Prophet. And as we're moving from island to island, I was saying to myself, Prophet is working harder. As he's getting older, he's working harder. From the Pacific Islands. From the Pacific Islands. He went for a crusade. Oh yes. Oh yes. Then from the crusade, when the crusade finished, then he went to a camp. Yes. Yes, I'll say to myself, look, it's working. Pressing on more. He was telling me that, he said, because we did five camps on five islands. He said to me, now when you move, make sure you do five camps. Yes. And I said, Lord, give me strength. Yes, there's nothing like you've done one camp and back. No, he said, now when you move, make sure it's five. Yes, so plan it to five. One, two, three, four, five. So you don't see me for five Saturdays, you should understand. So I don't want to lose my first love. And I want to remain faithful to death. I don't want to change. I don't change because God has blessed me with a beautiful congregation in Birmingham. Yes. Because I have one of the best congregations in Birmingham. You can't get it any better. Oh yeah, you can't get it any better. I will not even pretend. I'm not even joking or saying it to you because it's you. A lot of people, once a lot of ministers who would like to have what I have here, don't like to have it. Like to have it. That when you see you, they are so happy. The point I'm making is that because of this beautiful church in Aston, full of lovers, admirers, am I going to stop serving God? You understand? Coming is serving God. Sit down so I can see those who are leaving. Okay, I've seen them. I'm saying that because of this blessing, God can't give any other instruction. God shouldn't say that travel for 1 month or travel for 5 weeks because you've seen a beautiful congregation. Who clap for you when you enter. So it's like God can't speak again. God can't give an instruction again. So you see that the problem at a point is not fornication. It's not adultery. It's not stealing. It's not greed for money. Do you understand? But it is first love. Is can God still speak? Can God still direct you? Can God take you to the next level? Can God take you to the next channel? Can God say anything else again? That becomes the issue. That becomes your battle. Not breaking up with some girl. That's for spiritual toddlers. That's for spiritual toddlers. That you can't even common some of the things, even common sense can teach you. But when common sense is gone, and you can see distraction, and you are in love with distraction, it's up to you. Yeah, it's up to you. I mean, may God help you. That's all I can stand in my room and say that. May God help you. May God deliver. May God help. It's because, like I said, reasoning, logic and reasoning, which we studied at A-level, is not working. Oh, yes. When you are supposed to spiritualize things, you don't spiritualize it. When you are not supposed to, when the scripture is clear, walk away, then that's when you spiritualize things and you start talking about whatever you are talking about. Yes. That's the show of your unspirituality and the lack of even knowing God. What was I saying? What I'm saying to you is that, it's no longer negative, obvious negative things. But now you are choosing between good and good. You can read the book Proton. Proton, we talked about first. What's done first? What should be put first? That is, which is of more importance. And these are examples and teachings of Christ. And you see that Christ hasn't compared good with evil. No. It's for spiritual toddlers. It's for children that good and evil. It's obvious. Good and bad. It's obvious what to choose. Is it not so? It's so clear what to choose, good and bad. It's so clear, except you're a child. So you see, Christ compares good with good. Good with good. He compares good with good. Good, good. They say, which one comes first? Good, good. Which one comes first? Not good and wickedness, good and evil. No. Good and evil. When good and evil is not clear to you, I don't want to say we have a problem, but I think we do. We need to call the ambulance. That you can't see. You can't see. Whatever will make you see, may that thing come quickly. So, the request and the instruction from God is that, be thou faithful unto death. Stay in your calling. Stay in your calling. Stay. Stay in the ministry. Stay serving God. Stay loving God. Stay zealous. Stay on fire for God. Till when? Till when? When you buy a new car?
No.
You buy a new car.
Yeah.
When you get a good job? You will get a good job.
Yeah.
When you get married?
No.
You will marry.
Yeah.
When you have children?
No.
You will marry. You will have children. So, when does your faithfulness stop? And your commitment to God? When you become a doctor? When you specialize? It's like now I'm this soap. Let me cross my legs. Because I've got it. I see a lot of, you see what is the heart of a lot of pastors when they cool off, when they slow down. And I realize that, all along this is what you've been looking for. Because at that point, I see first love begins to evaporate. I've been with a number of pastors for years. They are not today when you see them. What you see today is not what they were. Otherwise, they'll not be called reverend. There's no way they'll be called reverend. But they got all the way to reverend. Because their love threw them that far. Then after that, they started cooling off because now they can buy a car. Now they can mortgage a house. Now their children are in uni. What it means to be faithful unto death. Number one. It means be a good ambassador until you die. When you are an ambassador, you are sent away from the headquarters and expected to represent the organization properly. Properly. So some of you are expected to leave this place and represent First Love Church in other nations and in other cities properly. Yes. Arrive with the flag of Jesus. With the flag of Jesus. And do it properly. Don't expect that God's last instruction to you is that marry that girl. And then that's it. God has stopped speaking. Yeah, he has reached the ultimate. has reached the altar. It's like it's finished. Oh, yes. Proverbs 13, verse 17. It says, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." A faithful ambassador is health. So be a good ambassador until death. Don't let the desire to be a preacher, to be a missionary, to be a servant of God, don't let that desire die in you. I'm sure. Well, I don't know, but I believe personally, this is my personal thinking, that Moses went to the University of Cairo. He was trained in Pharaoh's house. He was trained. How else will he be able to write the 5 books that he wrote? How was he able to write it? He must have been trained. He must have studied law or something like that. Because the details, it's not just some people say that he was melancholic. Whatever he was, the detailed writing that he was able to write, he must have been trained and educated in a certain way to write the laws, to write the books. Jesus, so I'm saying to you that you see your engineering that you are studying here. Remember to be a faithful ambassador, because God can use it to open a door for you to live somewhere else so that you can preach the gospel. Don't be sitting here and just be thinking that the engineering, the software engineering, data engineering, whatever you are governing for yourself is just to sit here and work across the city and come back. Open your ears and your heart so that God can tell you, I'm preparing you to also, I have other children on other islands, in other nations, in other places, that you can also arrive and preach to them, that souls will be saved. Will you not like God to use you to gather people, even like you see yourselves here? I mean, how many of you will like it? But how come you've not heard that that's what God wants from you? We are so blessed. I feel so, you know, that God don't speak anymore. Don't speak anymore. Giving me a degree. Giving me a wife. Giving me children. Giving me a car. Giving me a house. Giving me a job. God is okay. Thank you. I'll bring you the tithe, okay? I know you like tithe. God, I'll bring you tithe, okay? How did your relationship with God end? End where you are. How did it end there? He's expecting you to be an ambassador for him. An ambassador. To represent his kingdom. In cities. In nations. Your training is not going to be wasted. I pray for you that you will hear the Spirit, that your training won't be wasted, that in your chat and your discussions in private places with your loved ones, with your friends, you'll be discussing how you feel God wants to use you, and God will use you, how you feel, and you are so happy that God has chosen you, that you speak proudly of it, how God wants to use you. And say, announce to your friend, this is what you want to do for God. This is what you want to do. This is what you want to do, God. This is what you want to do, God. Because one move like this, you see, people disappear. I don't want to mention names, but there are people who have disappeared. People that you know of. Preachers, singers, they've disappeared. It's actually scary. You will have to find other reasons to convince yourself that, oh, it's not the case. But it is the case. It is the case. It is the case. Whilst other singers are there, they are in their 50s, 60s, they are still singing. Others, one move like that, that looked godly and spiritual, and they have disappeared from the face of the earth. Just a shift like this. Not because they fall into sin. They have not fallen into sin. They have not fallen into sin. But it's like, what gave you the light is turned off. That's it. It's over. It's so scary that it's over. It's over. You just become another ordinary person. And God just keeps moving on. Hey, pause the time. Wow. Proverbs 25:13. It says that as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger. There's somebody called a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. May you become a faithful messenger. Not somebody who has stopped preaching John 3:16. That John 3:16 is no more relevant. Which is the very thing that saved him. It saved him. This is no more relevant. It's no more relevant because you stop moving to the places where it will be alive. Yes. 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 That is why you think it's no more relevant. Because you are in the wrong field. You are in the wrong field. You only talk to people who are saved and saved and saved and truly saved. So you don't have anything to tell them again. You can't even share it with them to tell them they should go and preach somewhere else. How can you ever take a verse and say, this verse is no more relevant? How can John 3:16 never be relevant? How can John 1:12 not be relevant? How can Revelation 3:20 not be relevant? How can it lose its relevance? Faithful ambassadors unto death. Number two, I'm sure I can just do three, isn't it? Number two, do not bother to proclaim your own goodness. That's how you can be faithful unto death. Don't even bother to announce how good you are and how well you are. That's Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. In other words, a faithful man is different from the preceding statement. So the person who is faithful does not bother to proclaim his own goodness. Most people say what they can do and who they are and how great they are. And how they are like this, how they are like that, how they've done this, and how they'll do this, how they'll forever do this. A faithful person doesn't talk that way. A faithful person doesn't. He's just there. He doesn't say, I'll do this. I'm going to do this. I'll be with you. This. I mean to you. I mean, was it not Peter who was shouting, saying, you are not going to die. We'll be with you. We'll do this. And then what did we hear of him next? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? It's not easy to find someone who doesn't publish his record of achievements and victories. It's on the common side. But that's what God calls faithful. It means the person is still on course in achieving things. He doesn't find it necessary to announce who he is and what he is and what he has done. And then finally for today, yes, finally. You will abound with blessings until you die. When you are faithful, you will abound with blessings until you die. Not sure if I've told you before, but this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, and he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Have you seen someone who is in a hurry to get some things and that they are not innocent people? They have to cut corners. They have to tell lies. Someone who puts someone down so that they will go her up. That's not an innocent person. Someone who speaks negatively to you about your pastor so that they can marry you. That's not an innocent person. Or someone who speaks negatively to you about your church so that you leave and join their church. That's not an innocent person. When you are being invited to this church, when you are being witnessed to be led, to join, be in the church, be a Christian, did anybody tell you that don't go to that church? This one is bad. Did you hear any words, any such words from a first lover? That, oh, this place is this place like this place that. Were you not spoken to about the pure gospel and love of Jesus Christ? So anybody who speaks negative about your church so that you can leave your church, that's an ambassador of Satan. Don't mind your pastor. Don't mind bishop. Don't mind PA. Do this. Only so that he can gain access to you and do as he pleases with you. Contrary to reasoning and common sense, and then to what the Bible says. Not what PA says, what the Bible says. Have you lost your thinking? Lost your thinking. You've lost your thoughts. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Hey, I'll have to be rich by all means. By the time I'm 25, I must have this, I must have this. The Bible is saying that you will not be innocent. Hey, by 25, I must have this. Hey, by 22, I must have this. You will not be innocent. You have to cut corners. You have to compromise. You have to do all sorts of things before you be able to, before you see yourself getting it at 22. Why don't you say that I must have won 100 souls to Christ by the time I'm 22? Why don't you have such aims and such visions? That I'll be a missionary by the time I'm 25. Why did you have such an aim and such a dream and a top prayer topic? That I'll be by the time I'm 25, I'll be a missionary. Wow. I'm just trying to give you an extra one. What it means to be faithful unto death. It means be a constant and personal worker unto death. Yeah. Don't lose your status as a worker. And you see at the point that it becomes personal that you are working. You are, the existence of someone is what gives you a job. Yes. Go and check Jesus' definition of what it means to work for God. check it. Because some people ask him, what does it mean? He explained to them that this is what it means to work for God. This is the work of God. To be sent. You need a sender. So sometimes you will discover that. You will discover that your service to God demands a personal role to somebody. It almost looks as if you are serving someone. Or you are serving a minister. It's the existence of that person that gives you a job. Nobody would have chosen you. Nobody chooses you. Nobody even knows you. First Corinthians 4:17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in the church. I send unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. You know, that's why he says that, you see, people move away from someone and they become insignificant. Not because of the person. No, nobody is God. Don't make that mean. Nobody is God. But they are servants of God. And God honors us through the people he brings into our lives. Before you attach yourself to someone or follow someone, whatever, make sure you hear from God yourself. So that you can be like Elisha. And say to Elijah, as my soul liveth, as my soul liveth, we can never be separated. Yes. So that you can say that. Because Elijah is saying, leave me. And he's saying that, as thy soul liveth, and as my soul liveth, as I live, we can never be separated. But since when you don't have it, and the temptation comes, then you separate. When they separate, that's the end. Because the life of your mission, your role, is very much linked to a personal assistance to somebody. So when your eyes open, you see that this is what I have. Pray you never lose it. Pray that I'll be there to serve this person and to help this person, because that is what helps me maintain my relevance in the ministry. It's a service unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Not unto man. Unto the Lord. That you don't lose your place. Colossians 4:7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Oh my state, Tychicus will tell you. And this who he is, he's a faithful minister. Colossians 4:9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Opportunities that you'll be given when you are in a place where God has sent you and you are planted. You may not be given anywhere else. I mean, that place where you go to, you'll never be a pastor. You a pastor. I mean, even your relatives have been asking that. I mean, how can you be a pastor? Like, is that what church are you in? Yes. Yes. I mean, you, they call you, I mean, like you're a pastor. I mean, are you serious? Yes. Because they know you after the flesh and not after the spirit. Yes. They know you after the flesh. They know you as a student. They know you as that, you studied this, my son who did this, who did that. That's how they know you. After the flesh, not after the spirit. Because when you see you after the spirit, they will see what you are pursuing, what you are following, how God is guiding you. Then they will recognize your status spiritually. And when you say, when you also move out of what God has linked you to, then that's it. It's over. It's like suddenly a light is turned off. It's like the light is turned off. Have you seen Christmas tree lights during the day when it's not on? You just see green cables or white cables on a pillar. Nothing. But at night, when conditions are right and the lights are turned on, you see no cables. You see beautiful lights. But during the day, it looks very ugly. It's very ugly and tacky. I'm always unhappy at the sight of Christmas lights and those things during the day. But at night, so beautiful. Yes. That's how your life will be. So you have to stay where you are so that you can shine. When conditions, things change, suddenly you say, you are just cables. You are just cables and bulbs. Like any other cable and bulb. And finally, stay constant and qualify for a role in the next level of ministry. Faithfulness is always a factor in choosing people. When you have to choose somebody, you must always look for the person's faithfulness. God looked at Paul and considered that he would be a faithful person. That's why he chose Paul. He did not choose Paul because he was clean and sinless. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Look, he says that, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." When you are in the ministry, you've been put in the ministry. Yes, you've been put in the ministry. Putting me into the ministry. So to be moved to another level, a higher level, another chapter, you need faithfulness. Not that last year you were faithful, then this year you're not faithful. That's how you don't see new things and you don't have new experiences. Staying faithful. Faithful. I've been a Christian for so many years. Working the church. Been working in the church like that. Right from my days as a student. Throughout my days in the university, I was a church boy. Anybody you see who went to uni with me will tell you that, this guy, he was a church boy. Church boy. But you see, it's giving me chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Because I've just decided to staff, not decided, by the grace of God, stayed. What I believe God has given me, stayed. I pray that you also stay. I pray after uni, when you've grown up, when you've grayed, when you've put on a bit of weight, you'll still be. It will just be the outward man that has changed. But your heart is the same. Your heart is the same. As you are introducing your children to me, you are still a ministry person. You are still a church person. That is what it means to be faithful unto death. Be faithful till the end. Till the end. What God has given to you today, stay with it till the end. Yeah. Don't let slyness and any other thing try to bump you off. Stay with it till the end. I've ended for today. Okay. So, God willing, I'll see you next week. Stand to your feet. Yes.
Pray to God that you remain faithful to the end. Ask Him for grace to stay till the end. Pray for it. Pray. Even if you are leaving, be praying as you are going, that Lord, help me to be faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Keep me, Lord, to the end. Keep me loving you. Help me to love you. Help me to love you. Help me to love you to the end. Help me to love you to the end. To serve you. To have pure love for you, Lord. My first love. First works. Lord, I want to be faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Pray. Pray for yourself. Talk to God. Let that be your prayer today, the Lord. I want to be faithful to the end. Faithful to the finishing line.
strength to go where he says go. That you be able to go where he says go. Be a story. Let this be a portion. To be faithful unto death. At our funerals, may we be described as people who were faithful to you, O God, to you. May that be a story. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you. You are here, someone invited you to church. Or you've been going to church. But deep in your heart, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Pastor, please pray with me. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I want you to lift up your right hand, wherever you are. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to be a child of God. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to be close to God. Very quickly, just your right hand. Lift up high so I can see you. High, high, high so I can see you. God bless you. God bless you.
Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Your right hand. I can see your hand there. I can see your hand there. You also want to join in. You also want to join in. Your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. If you have your hand lifted up, I want you to walk to me right here in the front. Even if you didn't lift up your hand, I want you to still come.
Come running.
Come.
Come running.
Come
running.
Come all the way. Come all the way. I'm waiting for you. You lifted up your hand. You didn't lift up your hand, but you want to give your life to Jesus. Come. Close your eyes. Say this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus is alive. I believe Jesus died for me and he rose up on the third day. Say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me of all the bad things I have done. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I confess Jesus as my Master and my Savior. And I invite Jesus into my heart, into my life, to live with me, to guide me, and to be the Lord of my life. Say, thank you, Father, for choosing me today, for saving me, and for calling me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, may they be blessed in this new life. May they have peace. May they become evangelists for you. In Jesus' name, amen. May everybody you know hear the gospel from you and tell them how you've been saved and how the power of God and the love of God has changed you. Everybody around you, tell them what God has done for you today. If you go this way with her, go this way. Talk to me.
Jesus said.